Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope you all had a very blessed and enjoyable and safe long Labor Day weekend. It is officially the first day of school for many young folks across the city of Milwaukee. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. I've also got a few special guests that are quite timely with some of today's breaking news and news of the nation over the past week. Can't wait to bring them to each and every one of you. But some breaking news, of course, to start this afternoon. Just moments ago, a federal judge ordered that Google must hand over its search results and other data to rival companies, but will not need to break itself up into multiple parts. This from a ruling, again, a federal judge late this afternoon. This was a landmark antitrust case that has been much watched by all sorts of folks, including folks in the AI space. This is about big data, who gets it, who gets to do what with it, and whether or not that creates unfair competitive advantages in the marketplaces for these, quote, big data companies. Judge Amit P. Mehta of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia said in a ruling that to resolve Google's monopoly in search, the company must share some of its search data with companies that are, quote, qualified competitors, end quote. The Justice Department had asked the judge to force the company to share even more of its data, arguing that this was key to Google's dominance. So again, maybe a partial win for the Justice Department, Google avoiding, again, a massive breakup, as well as a requirement to share more of its data. We'll see if appeals ensue from that ruling, but absolutely monumental when it comes to competition in the marketplace. Certainly, as I've argued before on this program, Donald Trump is no capitalist. He doesn't believe in free markets. He believes in control of all business by one person. That is Donald Trump. That's why I call him, you know, a fascist. Continuing with other news this afternoon, a federal judge in California has barred soldiers from aiding in immigration arrests and other civilian law enforcement in Southern California today, warning of a growing, quote, national police force with the president as its chief in a blistering opinion set to take effect on September 12th. This was a 52-page decision. And it bars the administration from, quote, deploying, ordering, instructing, training, or using, end quote, California troops to engage in civilian law enforcement. This ruling could have wide-reaching consequences. Donald Trump is moving Space Force from Colorado to Alabama, I guess, mostly, I don't know, to just thumb his nose at President Biden. I wonder how much this is going to cost. You set up the new Space Force, and then you decide, no, it should be in Colorado. We'll move it somewhere. It baffles the mind. Talk about fraud, waste, and abuse.
Priorities.
Oh, my goodness, folks. That is the voice of my next guest, one of my favorite guests. She's with me on many Tuesdays, every other Tuesday, if you're a close watcher of this fine program. Her name is Angela Lang. She's the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities here in Milwaukee. And Angela, I wanted to begin with a bit of the news of the day. And we've talked about this issue before. There are two additional pieces to what I'm going to call Donald Trump sicking the military on civilians, on our families in the United States. Again, legal scholars will have the technical arguments about the Posse Comitatus Act, about the specific statutes that govern D.C. law enforcement. But we also had, of course, the president today proclaiming, though this is a lie, that there is now, quote, no crime in Washington, D.C. Gee whiz.
Wow.
That was like magic wand type stuff. Again, that's a lie. There's not zero crime in Washington, D.C. That's an impossibility. And he basically promised a crackdown in Chicago, saying, quote, we're going in. He didn't offer any details on timing, but he said, we're doing it. We're going to do it anyways. We have the right to do it. I wish the governor of Illinois would call me up. I would love to do it. I mean, crazy. He went on to say, we have an obligation to protect this country, and that includes Baltimore. I don't debate with the president that he and our federal government has a right to protect this country, but the military deals with war. They're, quote, war fighters. Remember Pete Hegseth talking about that? If they're such war fighters, that has nothing to do. They're completely different skill sets from civilian law enforcement. And then this bit of news just within the last hour and a half, Angela. D.C. Mayor, maybe I can say the words today. D.C.'s mayor, Muriel Bowser, issued an executive order on Tuesday, today, that welcomed federal law enforcement officials to stay in Washington, D.C. indefinitely. The order goes on to require local coordination with federal law enforcement, quote, to the maximum extent allowable by law within the district, and the order has no expiration date. This is now sitting at odds, Angela, with the federalization of the D.C. police force, which lasts only 30 days and is set to expire next week, which would require extension by Congress. Legal scholars are not sure what to make of all of this. We have a little bit of sound from what I would call other capitulation by Mayor Bowser from last week. Let's take a listen.
We greatly appreciate the surge of officers that enhance what MPD has been able to do in this city. The most significant thing that we are highlighting today is the area of crime that was most troubling for us in 2023. Now, we have driven it down over the last years, but I'm going to get my glasses so I can make sure I can see it correctly.
Okay, well she gets her glasses last week. We can wrap that clip. It goes on, more of this. I just find this... It's complicated, right? And I can see, Angela, let me be a devil's advocate here for a moment. If I had faith that this was not political stunt and it was actually about public safety, and I know how challenging it is for many local police departments with budgets and staffing. I've heard from friends of mine that are police officers that used to walk in neighborhoods and now they sit alone in squad cars, that help, good faith help, is not actually unwelcomed in many places. But the catch there is good faith help. And I would also say this, it's also to me about violence prevention and not just putting down and ticketing more prolifically nuisance crimes, these kinds of things. Listen, community policing is a thing. We can have debates about some of the elements of that. But I just want to take as a devil's advocate's position, hey, listen, if this was actually in good faith, it was being accompanied by greater investments in mental health, diversion programs, treatment programs, work programs, to make sure that when people get out of an incarceration situation, that they have a pathway to move forward and not offend again. So taking that, just like if it were only that, I can understand a mayor of a large city who's been struggling to make budget works. But Angela, just your reactions to all of this, this is not good faith. This is not actually about public safety. So I am utterly perplexed by Mayor Bowser's position and apparent complete capitulation. Now, D.C. on different legal grounds than L.A., Chicago, Baltimore,
sure,
or even Milwaukee. But your thoughts on this, Angela. Thanks for your patience as we set this up. A lot happening today.
No, it's important to connect these dots, too. And that's exactly what I was writing down. If this was in good faith, Trump wouldn't be cutting preventative programs. He wouldn't be cutting all of these different social services and these wraparound programs that actually support folks. If we are serious, and I've said this for years, if we are serious about tackling crime, we have to look at the root cause. I don't believe anybody wakes up and is like, I'm bored today. I'm going to go play around and be Scarface, right?
Yeah.
And I had this conversation recently with some team members who, you know, did some stuff in their past. And there's a Tupac line that said, I never did a crime I didn't have to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's so many times that people out of survival, out of a scarcity mentality, do things. I'm not advocating for crime, let me be clear, right? But like, you can kind of understand that when you are cutting services and people are trying to survive and you see challenges in your community, and then you go to places like Shorewood or Whitefish Bay and they're over there thriving, then let's have a real conversation about tackling crime. And so we've seen, you know, with the DOGE cuts and all of these things that predominantly affects a lot of Black women, how that trickles into the household, into the Black communities. And so I don't think, you know, I agree with you, it is not in good faith at all. And speaking of the crime in DC, you know, I was on with Greg last week and I said this then, is like, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of crime in DC right now because of the Trump administration. It is in the White House. The call is coming from inside the house, right? And I've seen clips of National Guard folks standing around or picking up trash, right? And so it feels like a political play. It feels like another way to kind of have this like us versus them mentality. And I think there's a lot of tension and folks are on edge, especially with comments about Chicago. And I've said for a while, I'm very concerned about Chicago. Chicago is not far from Milwaukee, which also has a Black mayor, who is a Democrat, right? And I think it's, I want to name this, I think people are seeing the dots, but I want to say it explicitly, is that these are cities with large Black populations, Black and brown populations. We're not seeing, you know, takeovers of, you know, some of these other states, right?
Yeah, I mean, 13 of the 20 cities with the highest murder rates, as Governor J.B. Pritzker has repeatedly pointed out, have higher per capita murder yes. rates, homicide rates, violent crime rates than these cities that Donald Trump is targeting. This is about creating a narrative that yes. tries to convince his base that there are bad people who don't care about public safety.
Yep.
And what it is really about is that is what the objective is. It is to pit regular Americans against one another. Mm-hmm. It is to feed this idea that we all don't want, demand, and deserve both freedom and safety, sometimes at odds, sometimes difficult to deliver, that we all want opportunities. And the underlying current of targeting Black and brown people, Black mayors, all of that is pointing to this has nothing to do with public safety. This is about right. false division and, frankly, creating an opportunity now and, oh, yeah, in the future, maybe, I don't know, during an election cycle
right.
to oppress. This is about oppression. It has nothing to do with safety.
Right.
Those that buy the Trump line, he's selling you a bill of goods, the con man extraordinaire. We continue this discussion with back to school and what's going on with lead in our MPS schools with Angela Block, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.